Blog Talk Radio.
Cut GLaDOS, don't you?
I do. I want you to cut GLaDOS.
Mm-mm.
Oh, hey, and I'm
are you really crunching? Oh my god.
It's a pretzel. It's so good.
What pretzels? Weren't you eating apples earlier?
I was. And then when I went into the kitchen to refill my drink a minute ago, I had my bag of no gluten, no flour, no egg, no nothing pretzels.
I'll
grab my handful.
Oh my god.
I know, I'm trying to figure out what they're made of. There's no milk, there's no flour, no gluten, no feta or something like that, and no something else. I'm like, so what the hell did you make these out of? Either way, they're good.
I'm worried about you.
You should totally be worried, because I am awesome.
I should be, what?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so good morning to all. I'm a little thrown. Okay, so good.
Hello,
Jimmy. The interesting and crazy morning. Good morning to all out there in where are we? Twitterverse? Was it? What did you call it?
Pixelverse.
In the Pixelverse. Oh, get your head in the game, girl. Okay. Delicious.
You okay?
It's vitamins and stuff just kind of hit me at once. I am not all there. You know, you just kind of go spacey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, that's where I be in spacey place. Spacey place, La La Balloon Land. So.
All right.
Just so you all know, we are not advocating the usage of drugs. However, UNH has swollen tonsils, so I got.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh no. Amanda, there's a bunch of news this morning.
Ooh. There is.
All right. So, you want to go first? You want me to go first? Or
go on. Let me control this GLaDOS and Link debacle that's going on. Go.
All right. Well, yesterday you told us about... No, that was Japan. Never mind. This is somebody else. PSN and PS Store going offline in South Korea to comply with shutdown law. Yeah. I told y'all about this earlier this week, how South Korea is going to stop anything, any kind of game service where you buy anything per service. DLCs, gold, armor, whatever. Anyways, the PlayStation Store for South Korea will be shut down temporarily, according to a report on Kotaku. The digital marketplace for PSP, PS3, and PS Vita will be shut down due to a new shutdown law in the country that is meant to keep gamers in the region aged 16 or younger from playing games during a 6-hour block of time every night. The law has already imposed on the PlayStation Network. Due to all this, Sony says that it will take the PSN store offline for all players starting on June 29th, just days before the law goes into July 1st. While players will still be able to engage in multiplayer games, the bulk of the service has to be taken offline to make sure that it would be fully compliant with the new law. Sony hopes to have its service back and online in full sometime later this year. South Korean lawmakers have been going after online game companies hard this month. Earlier this week, news of a new law that would ban the sale of virtual goods within online games was announced. Much like the shutdown law, it would keep youngsters away from games that let them buy virtual goods to free up time to do more important things like studying. Yay! Sounds like growing up in South Korea is like a summer at Disneyland. Wow. You know what? South Korea, you are some crazy people, and y'all have some cool stuff that goes on compared to North Korea. Y'all are awesome. But at the same time, seriously? Ever heard of letting the parents parent their children?
Well, we see how well that goes here.
That's true.
Some of them don't want to parent their kids, so that's why South Korea is like, we just jump in and just do what we want to do. What is with the texting me in the middle?
Texter harder.
Hey!
What? I didn't say anything.
That's not what you said. That's how you said it. Oh, my God.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never say anything questionable like that.
Tone it down. Bad ginger. Well, we told you about Rose Online yesterday. Yeah? Yeah. Well, Portuguese people, not to be left out. Today, Rose Online launches in Portuguese. Yay!
Yay!
Rose Online is a free, roaming, interplanetary, anime-inspired fantasy MMORPG. That was quite long, wasn't it? Where players fight monsters, gain character levels, obtain new skills, and find equipment to prepare themselves for future battles. Players travel to different planets and explore new environments, as well as battle over players and declare wars against other clans. Can I just declare war against anybody?
Declare war! Oh, man, yeah. Can we?
We got to find somebody that... You know what? We need to talk about our God Squad, by the way, because you all are not backing me. When I go to jump on somebody, I expect to have you guys back me. God Squad!
It doesn't give you, like, an update on who you're jumping on. You got to tell me so that I can follow, because, girl, I got a guy. You and I are going to have to go completely ballistic on him.
Word.
Uh-huh.
Word. Let me up my defenses. We're going to handle this today. We're handling him, okay? What's his name?
You want me to open it? Facebook.com.
You look for that while I finish reading this. Okay, so the seven planets of the world of Rose, yes, World of Rose Online was created by goddess Aurora. Aurora. Yeah, I'm going to need y'all to stop with crazy names. It's not Aurora, it's Arua. A-R-U-A.
Arua?
However, Hebarn, the god of malice, took over the seven planets and renamed after himself to protect the other planets from Hebarn. Arua created the visitors, really, and sent them to Junot. You know what? Stop it. The first planet of Rose Online. Stop it, Rose Online. Stop it. You can check out Rose Online and keep up with dance parties, costume contests, and such on their Facebook page at /PlayRose. I'm going to need y'all to not come up with the crazy names. Can they just be named Michael, Bill, Sam, Fred? Can we pick some of those names?
Oh, my God. I'm muted, so you can't hear me. I'm like, something like that. Seriously.
Yeah, Ginger's a good name.
Yes, Ginger is an awesome name. It's the best name ever.
Ha ha.
Mm-hmm. Best name ever.
Oh, wow. I just went from spacey to amazingly alert. Wow. All
right, hold on.
I need to put this little bit together and sell it in the store. Ooh.
Who is this? Dude, I'm scrolling. I'm looking for his name. All right. This guy's name is Charlene, or maybe it's a girl. Charlene. I don't know the last part.
Okay, don't say the last part. We don't want to completely call them. But you know who you be.
Charlene, level 17. Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
And idol worship, we're coming for you. Yeah, not even all that high either.
I got to get my level up.
I don't know. What level am I now?
I don't know. But somebody's going down today. I'm just.
I got three islands now.
You heifer.
So much love.
You heifer. I wanna play. Nobody wants to play with me.
You know what? While we're talking, hey, Charlene, I'm going to go put some really nasty stuff on your island. Just
go ahead and link me there in the God Squad chat while I tell them about the new updates on the Microsoft 720 document. Yeah, the Microsoft 720 document, they basically pulled one of those Madagascar. You've seen Madagascar? Those of you seen Madagascar?
Yes, both of them.
The penguins? You didn't see anything. That's what Microsoft has done. You didn't see anything. All right, so try as you might, you'll never manage to kill every last one of those frightening little beasts, referring to the documents, the Microsoft documents that were leaked about the Xbox 720. But gamers and, of course, tech journalists and Julian Assange are sort of like cockroaches. Yes, we are, in regards to the recently leaked 56-page document detailing Microsoft's Xbox 720 plans. The Xbox 720 document first surfaced online earlier this week when someone uploaded it to doc sharing service Scribd. The doc contained information about a $299 Xbox 720 next-gen game console with Kinect 2 for a holiday 2013 release, as well as details regarding a new Kinect glasses product. The documents have since been removed from Scribd at the request of the international law firm Covington & Burlington, LLP, on behalf of Microsoft, as VentureBeat previously told us, but that wasn't the only web publisher of Microsoft. These two firms are going after. Czech Republic site Enid.cz also received a takedown letter from a Microsoft legal firm, as did cloud storage service Dropbox. For now, Dropbox has blocked all its users from publicly sharing the Xbox 720 documents. Of course, there is no way to really, really stop this, those of us who are smart enough to download a copy can share it hand-to-hand. Go ahead and give us your Skype name so we can we can have it. They didn't say we couldn't share it between each other. Print out a copy, hand them out on the street. No, I'm kidding. Let me stop myself. You got a lot of love from us this week. What?
Oh, crap. Did I just lock up?
You probably did. Poor Ginger. Can you hear me still? Ginger? Okay, we lost our Ginger, so I'm going to go on to my next story. Very exciting news for those of us who love Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid 5 is currently in development. During an interview with French game magazine IG, Hideo Kojima has announced that Metal Gear Solid 5 is currently in development. The only information Kojima has revealed is that the game will be using the new Fox engine, and the gameplay mechanism will feature a blend of stealth action and interaction with other characters, similar to what you see in Deus Ex Human Revolution. When asked about Metal Gear Solid 5, he says he can only tell us two things. There will be much question of infiltration, espionage, and convincing people to give you a favor, like in the last Metal Gear Solid. Kojima has also hinted the possibility that Solid Snake might return. I certainly hope so, because we love us some Solid Snake. However, according to Dan Dawkins at PS3M, Metal Gear Solid 5 may be set in Africa during 1970s, and gamers will once again take on the role of Big Boss. This is based on several clues revealed on the MGS timeline, along with how characters like Frank Yeager, a.k.a. Gray Fox, and Big Boss, a background story that is set in Africa.
Maybe I'm back.
Yeah, you are. Metal Gear Solid 5 will be the ninth game in the Metal Gear series, created by Hideo Kojima, whose left we also want to sit in. The series is famous for setting the foundations of stealth action genre, along with a dramatic story, a style of story, and also was probably where they got the idea from. For Splinter Cell from, but Splinter Cell has jumped the shark. As did Metal Gear 5. You need to keep Snake he needs to stay in the saddle. Please don't dumb it down too much. If you're going to give me stealth and tell me I got to think on my feet, I really, really want to. I really want it that way. I'm beefing up my security on my island. Ginger, are you back?
I think I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm going to need to beef up some security and see if some people can be taken out.
All right, awesome. Yeah, because I totally just went and dropped a, I don't know, whatever these ticked off trees are next to his island. All his worshippers, and then the two that weren't touched by the tree, I took them over. So now they're worshipping me. So you are getting no energy, dude.
Oh,
hold on.
Go ahead and drop that in the gacha so I can finish him off.
I will. I had to close it out because I don't know what it is, but since they updated Flash Player recently, I'm having issues with it. Every time I open it up, like, everything locks up for a couple of seconds. So.
Everybody has, actually, I've noticed. It's been a bit.
I don't know what they did with their update, but it's not cute.
We're going to need y'all to stop that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the Tetris Company wins copyright battle against Cloner.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Clone games are nothing new to the games industry. You can hardly walk the aisles of GameStop or browse the listings of iPhone App Store without coming across a clone or 2,000. This is especially true for many classics such as Breakout, or in this case, Tetris. As a little backstory for this case, Exio Interactive developed a game. It's called Mino, which it admits was directly inspired by Tetris. When this game was discovered by the Tetris Company, it sued Exio for copyright infringement in the U.S. District Court of New Jersey. During the course of the legal fight, Exio claimed that its use of the rules and mechanics for fair use as ideas and rules cannot be covered by copyright. Tetris argued that because almost all assets of the Tetris were copied, the game infringed its copyrights. This left the judge in the unenviable position of determining just what aspects of Tetris are not covered by copyright. In this ruling, the judge admitted that the basic rule sets and gameplay cannot be covered by copyright, so he set about figuring out just what were core concepts of Tetris. He ended up ruling that the basic rule set of Tetris that is not copyable is the idea of a game in which shapes fall from the top of the screen and must be lined up with other shapes to clear the board. As an example of a game that used this basic rule set that does not infringe the Tetris copyright, the judge said Dr. Mario. Then judge went on to rule that because Zio had copied far more than the basic rule set for Tetris, going so far as to copy the exact dimensions of the play area, the shape and color of the pieces, and several other mechanics, that its use did indeed violate the Tetris copyright. The judge also included several side-by-side comparisons of the two games. And if you want to see this, you can head over to GamePolitics.com. They look very familiar. They were virtually identical. The judge also explained that had Zio altered enough of the game, such as changing the dimensions of the play area, the shape and look of the game pieces, or their behavior with each other, it could have avoided the infringement claim. So what does this ruling mean in the overall debate over game cloning? Not much, really. The ruling was made in a district court with jurisdiction only in the state of New Jersey, so it does not hold precedence outside that jurisdiction. Also, the ruling most likely will be appealed to the Third Circuit, which means that it could be overruled. However, as an exercise, let's consider that this case is very proper U.S. Would it help those fighting against cloning of their games? Not likely. The ruling is partly in scope. While it was a win for Tetris, it is mostly a win against outright clones rather than the games that have a heavy, heavy inspiration from other games. All right, so, you know what, people? How hard is it to come up with a game, an idea of your own, to be original? We have so many copies, so many of the same games that are released all the time. I want to scream. They're so boring. Please, please give us something new and fresh.
What can you say in those instances? On one hand, I love that you're trying to pay homage, but can't you add something new to it? Maybe put Pac-Man in Animal Crossing or something. I don't know. Or, you know, do something different. It makes no sense what you're doing at all.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think this boy needs some religious dogma. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think he needs a bunch of stuff on his island. As soon as the countdown is done, I think I have 29 minutes, I'm going to drop another tree on his other island.
I got a tree on one, so I'm handling my business.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm going to leave him a tag. I wish we could leave him a tag. JGR, beep! It's JGR.
What you going to do now? What you going to do now? Oh, by the way, we talked about you on air. You want to come listen here?
Oh, he's evil, so he should enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, back to the news. Apparently, Facebook...
He's ruining my angel rating. How dare he?
Facebook is inviting us all out on a date.
You know, Facebook, I love you. You're really sweet. You're a good friend of mine. I would never date you.
I'll date them. They can afford the Manolos, so I'll date them. But more... explain that Facebook is saying it's turning its attention to core gamers. Isn't that nice?
And what's this?
Mm-hmm. Facebook is saying that, of course, our GI.biz is reporting that Facebook is rapidly expanding in its games library beyond Zynga's catalog of games with new partnerships with companies like Wooga and Kixi. Facebook is reaching out to a growing audience of niche gamers. Matt Windau, games product manager at Facebook, did an interview with GI.biz. Why can I not talk? Discussing the future of interactive entertainment across the world's most popular social network site. And we will probably be talking about that later on. Is that going to help Facebook at all? He is quoted as saying, "We have 845 million users on Facebook every month. If you're a game developer and you're targeting some niche gamers, that group is on Facebook and they're engaged with Facebook." So remember, tonight, This Week in Gaming, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, you come here, you sit in the chat room, you can call in. Also, you might let us know some form or another. We're usually watching Twitter or the chat room. If you're not calling us or getting our attention there and you're trying to call in, we won't see you. It's not on purpose. It's because we are so engaged in arguing with each other because that's how we roll here. Anyway. Anyways, I got another good one for you. Speaking of, because that one was short.
Right.
Speaking of knockoffs and things.
Uh-oh. Who's in trouble this time?
Well, they're not in trouble. This time, it's not a knockoff. This game actually belongs to the company Atari. Remember those people? Yeah, they started all this mess. They're, of course, one of the world's most recognized publishers and developers of interactive entertainment, have announced today the launch of Centipede Origins on the App Store and Google Play. That's right, Uncle. Staying true to the classic arcade shooter, Centipede players will help their garden gnome repel an army of centipedes and other bugs to protect their garden at all costs. Available for the iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and a variety of Android smartphones and tablets, Centipede Origins will be available for a mere 99 cents with in-game purchases. In this evolution of Centipede, players have all new weapons and gadgets such as grenades and the memorable Mushroom Men at their disposal to exterminate the invader insects. Using coins that may be acquired in-game or through purchase, weapons and gadgets can be fully upgraded for gnomes to wield in the war against the swarm. Use the latest technology to help the garden gnomes protect their world from centipede and bugs. Now, significance of this is why I had to say it, is because this is the first game designed by a woman. You didn't know that, did you, Ginger? You're a muted woman.
I'm talking, I'm like, really?
Yep,
Centipede. Made by first, a woman.
Made by a woman, and it is an arcade classic from back in the day. Fantastical.
That is totally, totally fantastical.
Apparently, I'm not doing enough damage. Somebody needs to set on fire.
Yes, yes. I agree with this. Somebody definitely, definitely needs their head set on fire.
And bam! His head, people's heads on fire. Bam!
yeah, I just flicked one of his guys off my island. See, people, and this is live news. Live news.
And, yeah, that's what I just did. Come on, get some.
Mm-hmm. Bring it. All right, Mario Marathon Charity Drive begins June 22nd. Beginning Friday, June 22nd, a group of dedicated gamers in Lafayette, Indiana, will host the fifth annual Mario Marathon fundraiser to benefit the Child's Play charity. The group has been doing this since 2008 and has managed to raise over $242,000 for Child's Play to date. Mario Marathon is a charity drive broadcast live online through Twitch TV. The event starts with a small group of gamers attempting to complete a list of levels from Nintendo's popular Super Mario Bros. Series. Take part in the marathon by adding levels to the player's queue by making donations to Child's Play. This process continues until either all of the levels are conquered or the donations stop being added to the queue before the level list is completed. During the broadcast, viewers can interact with the team through the event's website and social media channels such as Facebook and Twitter. Past broadcasts have featured celebrity call-ins, sing-alongs, contests, and raffles. The support for the Marathon and Child's Play charity continues to grow each year, which is motivation enough to keep going, says Brian Breininger, event coordinator. Year-round, we receive messages from viewers along with prize contributions for future Mario Marathons, including games, original artwork, and thousands of dollars in donations. Donations from the event's website have already begun to trickle in, with $5,200 being contributed as of this writing. All right, so you want to get involved? Head over to MarioMarathon.com. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child's Play Charity, which is amazing, we love them, ChildsPlayCharity.org. Please remember, people, you do not have to wait for an event or a special holiday to donate. If you have a couple of dollars, even just a little bit of change in your pocket, please, please, please send it to these folks. ChildsPlayCharity.org. And thank you for whoever's texting me.
It's not me this time.
No, it wasn't you.
It's not me this time.
No, it's my wonderful, loving sister. I'm going to turn my ringer off. There we go.
She's like, and you know what they always do when we're doing the show? What are you doing?
Yes. No, actually hers is, I want to come visit. You were here just the other day. You know how to drive down here, but you'll know my hours. Stop calling.
You know my hours.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was going to read this lovely story, and it's a good one, but we're probably going to save it for later because it's more of a requires some more discussion. But did you know that they released the Windows Phone 8 already?
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was done yesterday, late in the day. They released the new Windows Phone 8. It's kind of interesting. I don't like the boxes on there. I love it on a computer screen, but not on a phone. So, of course, Microsoft performed its first Windows 8 striptease at the show they've been having out in San Francisco. They revealed 8 key features for the Windows 8 platform. While the announcements were developer-centric, they also revealed a lot about Microsoft's plan to wow consumers, which they've already done with that tablet. I've got to tell you, I'm all in it. From NFC to mobile payments to software support for incredibly powerful hardware, Microsoft is preparing to pull out all the stops to sell the newest lines of Windows 8 phone powered devices come this fall. Currently, you don't see too many Windows Phone devices on the street, but the ones that you do see show a high level of quality and design. I will admit that their phones stay are very durable. Microsoft said this morning that the Windows Phone powered smartphones are some of Amazon's highest rated cell phones with service plans, all of the top three and top five of the six rated devices that they have. Microsoft Corporate Vice President Joe Balfour took the stage to talk about new features for the Windows 8 phone. The first and most interesting announcements was that Windows Phone will contain strong ties to Windows for the desktop and will ship with a shared core inside the common code between the Windows 8 phone and Windows 8. He said it changes what the platform is about. The core technology has its heritage in the Windows kernel. Drivers, networking, graphics, media components, all will now be the same across all Windows-powered devices. They do like to do that. They love all their stuff linked, which in one hand is kind of helpful. Also, devs will be able to write apps natively in C and C++. This and the ties to the desktop will make mobile development easier for developers already familiar with Windows. Do y'all know what that means? That means, you know how we have the Apple, if you want to write Apple apps, you have to go learn their code. If you want to do Android, this is C++, and C++ is almost universal. No more of this coding in five different places. Okay, anyway. Additionally, they revealed some other platform features. Support for the latest and greatest hardware, including multi-core chipsets, a range of three screen resolutions for you people out there, 800 by 480, 1280 by 768, and 1280 by 720, and removable micro SD, Internet Explorer 10. No, not 9, I said 10, complete with malware blocking, faster JavaScript performance, and the double HTML5 feature support of the Windows Phone 7.5. Native game development, based on DirectX for killer games and big, beautiful, powerful apps with platform and drivers in common between the Windows 8 desktop and the Windows 8 phone. Do you know what this means, people? We could be playing a game on your PC and move it to your Xbox and move it to your phone and then to your tablet. If it works. That is. There's a ton of other features that it's supposed to come with. So they're also talking about how this is going to affect Android and Firefox for Android and all this good stuff. So we're going to wait and see is what I'm going to do. And we'll probably talk about this again later on as well. Remember, yes, we keep telling you 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm very excited about what they're doing. I'm just hoping it works because Microsoft, I'm still mad about the Xbox. I'm not going to bring it up again. We didn't break up, but we're not on good terms. I'm going to tell you that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And anybody else out there still having that Wi-Fi issue with Xbox, let us know, because I'm telling you, I'm bringing across more and more of you that are having issues with the Wi-Fi. I think it has to do with an update. I honestly, honestly do.
Interesting. All right. Crazy people out there. Australian researcher compares violent media consumption to greasy burgers.
Really?
I'm so not kidding. GamePolitics.com. In an obvious bid to promote the new book he co-authored with Danya Bronstein, Growing Up Fast and Furious, Reviewing the Impacts of Violent and Sexualized Media on Children, Macquarie University Children and Families Research Center in Sydney, Australia, Deputy Director Dr. Wayne Warburton tells Adelaide now that years of research from every corner of the globe show a definite link between time watching violent media and the likelihood of aggressive behavior in kids. There are some key impacts of violent media on children that are very well demonstrated in research, he says. They include increases in the likelihood of aggressive behavior, increases in desensitization to violence, and increase in the overall view that the world is more scary and hostile than it really is. Really, I'm sorry, is it less? Is there rape going on? No rape going on, no slave trades going on, no countries threatening to nuke the others, wars going on, horrible, horrible, horrible things going on. Yeah. And butterflies and rainbows around here, right?
Yes, we were before those evil games came along.
Exactly. Dr. Warburton added that MRI brain scans of children exposed to dramatized violence show similar reactions to those who have seen real violence. The brain isn't very good at differentiating between media and real-life situations, so we find very similar effects across all the main media, television, movies, video games, and music.
So we're all crazy. We can't differentiate between
No. Because apparently, you know, imagination is not real, and we should not ever have one, ever. citing a recent study, you know, the one where children were aggressive 15 minutes after playing a violent video game, Warburton compared that the short-term residual effects of playing a violent video game to eating food that isn't good for you. Over the long term, it's just like eating fatty food. One hamburger won't kill you, but there is a cumulative effect. All right, so you can learn more about his book. Air quote. Yeah, you can learn more about it over at, there's a link. You know what, I'm going to give it to you, so maybe you can go over there and just like put in some reviews and tell him to shut the F up. Federationspress.com.au. It also features contributions, essays from some pretty familiar names in the video games violent media research circle, including John Murray, Craig Anderson, Ed Donnerstein, Lewis Newman, Cordelia Fine. And you know what? You're just angry because your parents named you Cordelia. Elizabeth Tansley, let's not even go into why she's angry. Daniel Bronstein, Alan Hayes, and many others. Yeah.
Wow, I can't get on the Twitter. So, yeah, that's big fun. Anybody else having trouble getting on the Twitter?
Yes, yes. Twitter is giving me issues this morning. So, farewell, Twitter.
Newsflash, Twitter is down.
Oh, no. Has it been hacked?
We should start from
Anonymous. Anonymous did it. You're first. Anonymous takes down Twitter.
Rumor.
I love you, Corey.
I just want to see what's going to happen.
Can I do another one?
Yes, while I do this.
I'm not quite sure if you did this one last night or not. Or yesterday morning, I guess, not last night. THQ dumped Saints Row the Third expansion.
No, we did not do that.
In favor of a full-blown sequel.
Aww.
Uh-huh. One of the THQ's biggest franchises right now, Saints Row the Third, was supposed to get an expansion later this year, but the company announced today that it has decided to turn that huge content pack into a full-blown sequel. Depending on your perspective, this could be considered good news, but for investors, it means less revenue as well. So THQ lowered its financial target for the year to $20 million. The standalone expansion, Enter the Dominatrix, will now be incorporated into production. Yes. Will now be incorporated into production of the next great sequel in the Saints Row franchise, tentatively titled The Next Great Sequel in the Saints Row franchise. I kid you not. All right, so, when I look at the Enter the Dominatrix, I can't even say this without laughing. When I looked at the Enter the Dominatrix expansion in production at Volition, I was blown away by the ideas and desire to expand the fiction of the franchise, says THQ President Jason Rubin.
I do believe I'm done. I'm done.
I asked the team what it could achieve given more time, more resources, and a broader scope for the project. We all agreed we wanted to play that game. When it comes to Saints Row, it's clear our fans want bigger, better, and even more over the top, and that's why Enter the Dominatrix will be incorporated into a vastly expanded, full-fledged sequel scheduled for the calendar of 2013. THQ said that the change in production will shift net sales from THQ's 2013 fiscal year into fiscal 2014. As a result, THQ expects to have an approximate $20 million reduction in non-GAAP net sales and an approximate 0.3 impact on non-GAAP net loss per share for the fiscal 2013. On a related note, yesterday it was revealed that the company plans to shut down publishing operations in Spain and Italy. The Italian publishing operation went into liquidation last year, and the Spanish operation has been closed according to numerous reports. Koch Media will now handle publishing games in those regions. Saints Row, baby, Enter the Dominatrix.
I'm all shocked about the fact that Twitter is actually down.
No. I was like, what in the world?
Wow. Yeah.
I'm pressing it up my Twitter. That sounds just bad. Sounds really bad.
Here's some bad news. Here's the first thing that Nintendo probably needs to take another good look at. This is not a smart idea. Apparently, Wii U's Miiverse will not connect with other social networks. No integration with Facebook or Twitter. but Nintendo hopes the games will be the theme that attracts users. Nintendo has confirmed with GI.biz that its forthcoming social network, Miiverse, won't connect to other established networks such as Facebook or Twitter. The company has finally embraced a clearer online strategy with its new console. Miiverse is integrated directly into the Wii U system menu and games, allowing users to interact through text and video, although it will be moderated with up to a 30-minute delay. But Miiverse won't talk to other popular social networks such as Facebook and its 800 million users, restricting players' ability to share with their audience, although the long-term plan is to give users access to Miiverse from other devices such as 3DS, smartphones, and PC sometime after the launch of Wii U. He says, what we've discussed so far is, I think, is the other way around, and from any devices in the future, you'll be able to access the Miiverse from mobile phone or laptop. This is from Nintendo of Europe's Laurent Fisher. He says, you can check on what's going on and even participate. Rival console networks have at least allowed users to download specific social networking apps, but Fisher said Nintendo's policy is not to offer a service that is already available on multiple devices. Stupid Nintendo. Stupid. I have three devices permanently doing that already. What is our benefit to doing so also? Because the people that would... We're a social society, Nintendo. If we can't share even our Miiverse with friends, we can't get them to come on and play. Instead, Nintendo will offer basic functions of social services that Fisher admits are not revolutionary, but he believes so far they've been missing from other console gaming environments. On the Wii U, we do have additional reasons for connecting. We talked about things like video chat system. Nothing revolutionary, but it's going to be convenient. It's going to be easy. And the Miiverse is the one actually that I believe has a very unique feature, which is we put ourselves in the situation of making sure people you can communicate with, they are somehow already in a kind of community. The community will be Wii U owners who will have this common interest for video games and our expectation about that it's going to be a way to enhance the idea of sharing information on the video game. There are multiple independent social networking tools and services for gamers already available, with third-party publishers also creating their own, such as Ubisoft's Uplay. Fisher hopes the Miiverse community will grow through its love of games game sales spread virally through recommendations. They can't spread virally through recommendations because you don't pick the two viral networks. Jeez. What do you think about this?
I think I'm muted. I think I'm glaring at Twitter because it's...
Yeah, everybody is. We just started the rumor on Facebook. Is Twitter down? Rumor. Anonymous takes down Twitter? Joe says he was wondering what was going on. It was on at the beginning of our show. Yeah, we crashed Twitter. GGR crashed Twitter. Let me start that rumor.
It was totally us. And, because I was in there screwing with Twitter, I will totally admit I wasn't listening. So you could shoot me.
All right. So, back to Nintendo. This will be a heated discussion tonight. I am thinking this is not one of your smarter ideas, Nintendo. It would have been very easy to put a little button, or at least allow people the option. You know, if you would you like to connect this to devices? If not, say no. You know, at a later date, if you want to come back. If you don't want to do it, later date, you come back here and connect it. Because I do like that Microsoft added the Facebook and everything. If I wanted to use it, but I don't. But if I wanted to, it's there. You didn't give people the option. And there's so many cool things that Nintendo does that some people that have never owned, you know, a Nintendo product, at least not since it was, you know, the other, you know, before GameCube, if they could see some of these things, they probably would pick one up and play. And
think about free advertisement right there, word of mouth advertising.
It is. And I can only, you know, spout so much, or there's been people that have bought.
And we know it works because we saw it happen with Minecraft.
Yep. That's the whole line behind Minecraft, being able to share on Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. So this is not a good idea. You really need to take a look at that again and just, it's really easy integration, API. Even the trained monkeys that we have could do it.
Our trained monkeys are not very well trained.
True. This is true. They have not fixed our sites yet. Oh, gosh. I'm so mad at them for this. You come with Call of Duty and make Call of Duty awesome on the Wii. Okay, I can see all the possible things you can do with it, and then this to leave this out, not smart. And if it was me, I'd put every social network in it. I'd put Pinterest in it. So I could pin pictures from games. I mean, you know, you just freeze, snap, stick. Dude, you all are missing out, Nintendo. You're supposed to be the the innovator. This, you should go just grab some amazing stuff that you can't even do on Xbox. You can't Pinterest on Xbox. You can't do Google Plus on Xbox. Come on.
Oh, that'd be hot. That'd be so hot.
Yes.
I like this idea. Mm-hmm. All right. We got pirates.
Arr.
When is Talk Like a Pirate Day? Have I already missed that?
Talk Like a Pirate Day every day here at Game & Atrix. Every
Arr. You know what? I need a bird to sit on my shoulder, and I need the peg leg, and I need an eye patch.
I need a jeweled eye patch. It has Swarovski crystals on it.
Oh, that'd be so hot. Yes.
Right. Around my head.
Ooh.
I'm going to make that over the weekend.
You totally should. And then you should take us a picture and show us.
I'm not going to be able to see to take the picture because the eye patch is going to have crystals on it, Jen.
That's true. Okay, so Denmark's pirate package fights copyright infringement without punishing end users. Hey, U.S., are you listening? Denmark's government has decided that the best way to deal with illegal file sharing and piracy isn't by using letter-writing campaigns or punishing downloaders. After a long debate on the topic, the country has decided that the best course of action moving forward is to focus on the development and creation of better legal offerings for end users and education. The government is expected to announce sometime today that the Pirate Package, its anti-piracy initiative that will shift the focus from punishing end users to the development of better legal offerings. There are several moving parts to this new initiative, including an innovation forum that will serve as a space for dialogue and innovation for digital business model creators in various creative fields, and an awareness campaign that will be launched later this year to educate consumers. That part of the initiative will be a joint effort of the government and the Consumer Council, the telecommunications industry, and right holders. No, they did say that right. Rights holders. Okay, so it will attempt to educate consumers on what content offerings are legal and what ones are not legal. Finally, the document mentions a more streamlined process that allows rights holders to request blocking a site that traffics in copyrighted material. If a rights holder wants an ISP to block a site, they will have to take legal action against the ISP. Once the court decides if the block is warranted, the ISP in question agrees to be bound by the court's final ruling. This is an automated process where the rights holder needs only to contact one organization, one telephone company, which will then make sure to communicate this decision to the other telcos. Advocacy groups in the country seem to be pleased with the Ministry of Culture's plans. We are all very happy that the letter model has been pronounced dead by the Ministry of Culture. It is a huge victory for the internet and for the users, says Trolles Moller, co-founder and internet political think tank and digital rights group BitBurat. Oh, wow, people are right. So the anti-piracy outfits and copyright organizations didn't get their way this time. I think it's a brave decision by the politicians. It's a good idea to focus on operating legal services in ways that ensure users actually want to use them and to facilitate forums to work out new business models. Okay, so you want to find out more about this new initiative? You can head over to torrentfreak.com/Denmark-kills-file-sharing-warnings-launches-legal-services-initiatives. Yes, that was a long one. I know. So anyways, you want that link again? GamePolitics.com. Go over there, read their stuff, find it for yourself. And Corey is quiet.
I was sending my blessings to another goddess.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. I was sending my blessings. The blessings of the stone.
The blessings of the stone.
Yes, I know, a stone shipment. Okay. So, I am perpetuating this rumor. Everybody's going to be wondering what happened to Twitter. I'm waiting to see if it's going to come around that it's our fault. And it is. We take the blame. Joe is blaming you, by the way, on Facebook.
Blaming me? Don't blame me. I didn't do it. I don't think I did.
Well, by the way, it looks like Siri has some competition.
Yeah. About time, Siri. I don't like you, Siri.
Mm-hmm. It's battle of the digital assistant goddesses. When Samsung first introduced S-Voice on its Galaxy S3 smartphone, it was clear that it was ripping off Siri, the Apple iPhone 4S voice assistant that we all love and hate. There's really in the world for more than one, but how do the two voice assistants stack up when it comes to accuracy and response times? Well, according to VentureBeat, Siri is the incumbent here and has been heavily advertised by Apple with a stream of celebrities, including Samuel Jackson, whom I absolutely adore. Of course, Siri is not considered to be very helpful, especially with the updates from to iOS 6 around the corner. iOS, she looks a little more promising, they're saying, than S-Voice. S-Voice, of course, is the new chick on the block. New creation that is mostly playing catch up with Siri, but has some really handy integrations with Facebook and Twitter. While Siri can interact with many functions inside the device itself, only online phone retailer Dialaphone has created an infographic showing Siri and S-Voice's face-off with some slightly surprising results, including that Siri takes an average of 5.6 seconds to respond, while S-Voice takes 7.9. That said, from the looks of the average accuracy startup times and response times, you'd rather not use either one, most likely, and find the information with Google Smart Search, which is what I do. All right. Let me see if I can grab a couple of key points here. Let's see. Oh, to start them up, Siri can be launched in 2.8 seconds from the lock screen. S-Voice has a 3.3 seconds startup using voice activation from the lock screen. Samsung has a robot butler, which has an average response time of 7.9 seconds. Siri, 5.6 seconds. Oof. Siri, when she was asked questions, was totally accurate 26% of the time, while S-Voice was totally accurate 33% of the time. Nice. Well, and then here's the final bit. Siri has limited integration across the device, but can access text, memos, and the alarm clock. S-Voice has huge integration, ranging from Facebook and Twitter to navigation and even your camera.
That's kind of hot.
I don't know. I might accept a few late seconds for those, because then I don't have to. It's hard trying to Twitter you guys when I'm driving.
Not going to comment.
Not texting. I have the voice. You know our Android has the voice. Our Android has always had voice capabilities. It just doesn't talk back to you. You can pretty much do anything. You can tell it to call people and text. And what you don't want to do is sing to it. I tried singing to it one day. It didn't like that.
Aww.
It didn't like me singing to it, so I gave it up.
Aww. Did you break it?
I broke it. You broke it.
Oh, you're so mean. You big breaker. You big meanie.
Apparently, Ginger, you did break Twitter, and the guys at GF are saying, get it done.
How dare you blame me?
He said, get it done.
Get it done. I did get it done. Why do you think it's not working?
Oh, I do want to bring this up that I just ran across on Facebook. I have to tell you about this. At some point in time, we'll probably grab these people to have them on the show. But those of you who live in the Las Vegas area will love this. There is a new musical out on in Las Vegas called Evil Dead the Musical.
Evil Dead the Musical.
Yes, I so want to go see this. It's about five college students who go to an abandoned cabin in the woods and accidentally unleash an evil force that turns them all into demons. It's all up to Ash, a housewares employee turned demon-killing hero, and his trusty chainsaw to save the day. Blood flies, limbs are dismembered, demons are telling bad jokes, and all to music.
That
you don't...
sounds hilarious.
You don't even need to be a fan of The Evil Dead to love this show. You don't need to be a fan of horror to love this show. You don't even need to be a fan of musicals to love this show. As long as you're having fun, it's for you. I so want to see this. If you are interested in going out to see Evil Dead the Musical I'm trying to see if they got a price for tickets. It runs Friday at 10 p.m. and Saturday at 11:30 p.m. They don't have a price up on tickets. Guys, it's prices here. I'm sorry. It's $39.99 general admission. If you want to be VIP, it's $49.99. And there's also something called the VIP Splatter Zone, which probably means that you're going to get splattered. You will be on the floor, and they said they will give you a T-shirt, which probably means that you're going to get splattered. They also have a seating chart if you pop over to their website. And they will also serve you dinner during the show, unless you're one of them squeamish types. Awesome, right?
That sounds totally cool. I think I want to do this.
Yes. If you are interested in going out again to Las Vegas or you're headed out that way soon, the number is 702-260-7200. I want to see this. There's some video up on their site, too, if you want to take a look at a bit of it just to get an idea of what you're in for. Excited.
That sounds so cool.
It's getting rave reviews. And I love that it has, if you go and you check them out, it has all of the, you got all of your stereotypes. Girl wearing short shorts and for no reason. And the tight shirt.
She's been
like,
grabbing her ankles.
Well, she's not grabbing her ankles, but still you have to wonder. During a zombie apocalypse where scratching would turn you, you probably would not wear a midriff shirt. Running by the wrong crowd of zombies would mean you're going to be one. So, yeah, but you got to check this out. Again, it's called Vegas Zombie Apocalypse Evil Dead, the musical in Las Vegas. Got to go check it out.
That sounds awesome. I would love to go see that. Hey, guys, y'all want to send us some plane tickets? We'll go.
I went ahead and liked them on Facebook, so if you're following us on Facebook, you can go and follow and go over and check out their Facebook page. Lovely.
All right. Risk Conquest coming next week.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Conquest, the ninth massive update to Trion's MMORPG, launches next week, adding a host of new features, including three-faction PvP, a new raid sliver, and a mentoring system that allows high-level ascendants with a low-level friends. Sorry, I'm going to try not to sneeze. And a mentoring system that allows high-level Ascended to play with their low-level friends. Rift Conquest continues Trion's commitment to ongoing improvement and integration of player-requested content. All right, so what have we got? We've got Conquest. Choose one of three faction groups for an all-out cross-shared PvP war and an alternate reality version of Stillmore. Battle to control the Source Stone Extractors, craft engines of war to aid your team, and build up bonuses that last beyond victory. Instant Adventure. Instant Adventure comes to Freemarch, Silverwood, Glomwood, and Stonefield. Mentoring. Progress your character while helping your friends with low-level content. Barbershop. Change your appearance with a quick trip to the stylist. New Sliver. Defeat Fae Lord Twill in Primeval Feast. And there's a new world event. Camp out with Summerfest and participate in scavenger hunts throughout Talara. Awesome. All right. So, I've got this up on this morning. Head over there, check it out. Do it now. No?
Okay, which one of you bought items in Idol Worship, Ginger?
I didn't buy items.
You bought something, or is Facebook lying? They're trying to make me buy stuff.
Facebook's lying. I didn't buy crap. I've never bought anything for a Facebook game, and I'm not right now. I am addicted to that game,
I'm going to be watching you. Anyway.
You watch me. I am not buying items. No. That's one of the reasons why I like Idol Worship, is you can play without having to buy things.
They're going to need to get off Facebook and quickly. Them specifically, because they got a really good game.
They have an amazing game. It's just awesome.
It's one of the better ones, top tier, that I've seen on Facebook. So you guys, really.
A lot of times I'm like, oh my God, Corey wants me to play another Facebook game? Oh, this is horrible.
Yeah, this one's awesome. Awesome. Look, let's say awesome. Absolutely. Awesome. All right. Wooga, another company we were talking
Wooga?
About that's on Facebook. Yes, Wooga. Wooga.
Wooga.
Social game company Wooga has made its HTML5 game Pocket Island open source. While it focuses on its native mobile games, it says we're very proud of the work we've done with HTML5 over the past year. With some of the most talented software engineers in the industry working on the project here at Wooga, we're confident that the community will find lots to learn within Pocket Island and use our experience to progress the technology even further, said CTO Philip Mosier. HTML5 certainly has the potential to be a complete game changer, but the technology isn't there yet. Originally called Magic Island and released last October, the game started life as part of an experiment with Facebook's HTML platform. By May of this year, 1.3 million people had played the title. Wooga also reported that only 5% of the only 5% of the game's players would return the next day to play it again, compared to their percent return rate. This was one of the most difficult performance gaps between HTML5 and natively developed apps at the company. It's hoping the project will help the development community advance HTML5 technology. Developers can find out more about the game and download it. Let me tell you, at wooga.com/labs/. And there is also a link there to play the game and get the source code if you are interested in developing it or playing around with it. I have never played this game.
You've never played that game?
Did you play Pocket Island?
It sounds very, very, very familiar, but I don't remember where from. Now, I play a lot of games, so I don't know.
I will have to test it out and see what happens.
Yeah. All right, so it's my go again with more news.
Oh, no, I did not play this.
Okay. Area Mobile brings Japanese hit Monster Paradise to Western gamers. Area Games Mobile Division launches first title. Area Mobile, we don't care about that information, today launched the highly anticipated Monster Paradise, a multiplayer monster capture game featuring over 500 anime-inspired monsters. The hit Japanese mobile social and card game for iPhone and iPod Touch is the first title to be released under Area Mobile's partnership with Pokalabo, a leader in Japan's social mobile gaming market. Alright, so Monster Paradise has already proven to be a huge success in Japan, ranking in the top 20 sales charts for the past 3 months. Now, Area Mobile is proud to bring this phenomenon to English speakers around the world. Area Mobile was established to deliver... We don't care about that. In the game, an invasion of ferocious demons has broken the tranquility in the world. Players attempt to restore the peace between monsters and humans by fighting off this evil horde. Players can rally friends on Facebook to help fight especially powerful monsters by fusing several monsters together. Alright, so what do we got? We got a couple other features. Dynamic player versus player combat using teams of monsters working together. That's hot. Over 500 different monsters to capture and strengthen through fusion. Team up with friends to take down all powerful dark monster bosses that randomly appear at certain times of day. Alright, so Monster Paradise is available as a free download on the iPhone and iPod Touch. Don't ask me where that accent came from. I don't know. So iPhone and iPod Touch. Again, it's called Monster Paradise. So head over there, check it out if you happen to have one of those evil Apple gadgets.
Hey,
you know what? I don't have them. They haven't sent me one, so they're evil.
This is true.
You want me to say you're not evil?
Well, I am evil, but I didn't want you to tell everybody.
I'm so evil. Well, you know what? How the hell would they not know that she's not evil?
Y'all, come get your ginger. Somebody come get her.
Yes, come get me before she spanks me. She's already threatened me today.
I did. Let me tell y'all what your ginger did, why she deserves a spanking.
And then
I'm going to do my last story about Redbox, because I did tell you Redbox was coming for you. Ginger, who is allergic to strawberries, decided to eat strawberries and take a whole gang of Benadryl as if that was going to save her, and then passed out last night. We were supposed to be putting our items in our store on sale. So, yes, anaphylaxis is no joke, Ginger. And I told her if she did that again, I was going to drive to where she was and spank her myself, and it would not be the fun kind of spanking that she liked.
They were so good.
Mm-mm.
They were so good.
No, Ginger.
I miss them.
I like raisins, too, but I know that if I eat them, I'm going to die, Ginger. Strawberries will kill you.
They're so good. Man, it would be such a good way to die. Not the best way to die. I got better ideas.
There's much better ways to die, and that's not, no. Okay, let me tell you, Redbox is making a big old splash. We got a few minutes, so I'm going to feed this. Owned by parent company Coinstar, the DVD and game rental kiosk known as Redbox has been so disruptive in the entertainment industry that it helped Netflix hammer the final nail in Blockbuster's coffin. Redbox has doubled its annual revenue year after year, cutting so deeply into Hollywood's piggy bank that several movie studios attempted legal action, eventually settling to impose a 28-day delay before the new releases hit Redbox machines. But that's all old news. Last year, Redbox turned its sights on the video game rentals in a big way and has shared some recent stats from the Endeavor with GamesBeat, people's over at AdventureBeat, all of which have put this nifty, put everything into perspective. So, just to tell you, in case you were like, I'm not messing with Redbox, 18 million of you, approximately the number of gamers who have rented games at Redbox to date. There are approximately 36,000 Redbox kiosks in existence. The top consoles they sell for, Xbox being the prominent one at 42%, Wii the second, and then the PS3 falling third. Top seven titles rented, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which explains why I could never find one. Just Dance 3 is number two. Mario and Sonic at the London Olympics for the Wii. Xbox, Elder Scrolls Skyrim, which is where I got my copy because that's the only place that had one, and I own it. I kept it. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 again for the PS3. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 for the Wii. And number seven, Wii Wipeout 2. Okay, so those of you, here's another interesting infographic. 47% of gamers that rented the Redbox, women.
You know what? I would have rented there this past weekend had they had Lollipop Chainsaw. But
that's
you,
right.
People, did not have Lollipop Chainsaw.
They are not playing around. So you guys, if you, we've told you about Redbox before. We've done a story on them. They were nice enough to send over. No, you know what? They didn't send anything. They just put a link up. Thank you for the link, Redbox, but we would prefer to post. Who put a first in code? Anyway, guys, we can get out of here. We'll see you tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be there or we will hurt you.
We will hurt you in a way.
Yeah, bring your attitude and your evil gamerness, because we like it when you fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody know that face. Even with a head low, they still know that shape. When she come through the club, people take that place. Chick